3:30 is 3:30. Boom.
Hey, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. It's Make Me Smart Daily or Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. If you are keeping track of the days, I'll understand if they've run together. I'm here with Kai, trying to make the day make sense.
And I am here. It's Thursday, which means tomorrow's Friday, which means, oh, yeah.
So close.
Okay, so. I know, so close. Like, I can almost taste it. I can almost taste it. I don't mind telling you, actually. So we've talked before about this whole thing I have about not drinking during the week.
Mm-hmm.
I've started thinking about it again.
I like, in my mind, you stand in front of the fridge and just, like, look in there. Hello, friends.
Longingly.
Would you like to come out and play on Wednesday instead?
I will see you one day. I will see you soon.
One of the greatest tweets I saw from early on in this was a reporter, like a Food and Wine reporter, who was like, I just got off the phone with Jacques Pepin, and he told me that he is roasting a chicken with his wife, and they are splitting a bottle of wine like they do every night, and it's just like calm and peaceful. And I was like, they split a bottle of wine every night? I do not drink enough, clearly.
Yeah.
To be
French. No wonder it's all calm and peaceful, man. Hello.
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Not each.
Okay.
They split it.
So, yes. Okay. But still, what is that, like 2.5 glasses of wine?
I know. That's a lot of wine.
Like nap time.
I'm just saying, if you break down, you have a beer on Tuesday, Jacques is not going to judge you.
Well, good. I will feel much better about myself. All right. You want to start or am I starting?
Go for it. You got some pretty, you know,
all right,
fun Mac. There's no weird fonts in this one, so.
There are no weird fonts. There's just not a whole lot of wonkiness. It's so wonky, but it's really important, and that's why we need to spend like 90 seconds on this. So Jay Powell gave a speech today at what is technically called the Federal Reserve's Jackson Hole Summit. They meet in Jackson Hole every like late August. Not this time, of course. It was virtual, but the summit happened nonetheless on Zoom. And Powell gave, it's safe to say, a long-awaited speech on the Federal Reserve's review of monetary policy, which means, of course, interest rates. And the big news, and honestly, it's big news, and I'm going to sound like such a dork, the big news is that the Fed has decided that it's going to let inflation run a little hotter than it otherwise would have in years past. And this matters because, number one, it's a huge mind change for the Fed, right? They're all just still traumatized by Paul Volcker in the late 1970s and interest rates at 20%, right? So that's a big thing for them. And inflation can get out of control in a hurry. But the other thing that this does, and this is why it matters to you and me and everybody listening, is that if the Fed is willing to let the economy run a little hotter in a recovery, that is to say, grow a little more, prices go up a little bit, there's a little more inflation, not a lot. They're only going to let it go to about 2.5% from their target of 2%. That means conceivably the recovery could happen faster. People might get more jobs faster. Wages could conceivably go up. And that would be a net good thing. It will not happen tomorrow, but the Fed being willing to tolerate some more inflation in this economy is a good thing in the medium to long term. And I want to make sure everybody realizes that. That's it. That's all I got.
What would cause that inflation in the first place? More people having more money to buy stuff?
Yeah, I mean, if the economy actually recovers,
and
we get jobs and we start spending and prices go up because there's money out there and companies then have pricing power again, which they haven't had in this economy for a long time, then inflation would naturally rise. And that will be a good thing, according to the Fed now. The problem, of course, is you don't want inflation to get to 4, 5, 6, 7 because it's 7%. And then the next thing you know, it's 19%. And we're back in 1979 all over again. So they're gonna keep an eye on it, but they're going to let it run a little hotter, which is a good thing.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Cool. Great.
Yeah.
You, among many others, have asked. I mean, it seems to me that is that like cart out in front of the horse being consumer spending in the first place?
No.
Okay.
It's not. They are related, but not. Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. Great. Okay. Right. Cool. Let's do it. Inflate away. Economy.
Very good. Yes.
You got this.
Yes.
So many people woke up this morning and had a question, and that question was Walmart on the TikTok beat.
Yes.
Still legitimately the weirdest thing happening in American business right now. A sale has been ordered by a secret foreign committee I guess it's not secret, but secretive what they do and how they make these decisions. And the question of who is going to buy it seems to be down to the president. But now Walmart and Microsoft are apparently in discussion on a TikTok deal. And if you thought that makes no sense, you were right. Or you haven't been paying attention to the creator economy. This is something that we cover a lot on Marketplace Tech, and that's what we call it. And this is where, like, influencers sell a lot of stuff. So near as anyone can tell, the reason that Walmart would be interested in teaming up with Microsoft on a sale is presumably so that they can pivot TikTok to be more of an e-commerce product, where, like, creators and influencers would just straight up sell you stuff all the time. Microsoft probably gets data out of it, and I don't know, maybe an easier partner for the Trump administration to swallow, because early on it sounded like Trump was opposed to Microsoft buying TikTok. But I think, yeah, I mean, I said in the Marketplace Tech show, I'm like, if you know how much people love TikTok, the idea of it being turned into, like, basically just just a stream of influencer advertorial, especially as influencers increasingly become, like, the worst people in the world. That seems sad. That's sad.
So that's because that's what's happening in my Instagram right now, right? And I know I'm missing social media, mixing social media platforms, but my Instagram is increasingly being taken over by that kind of stuff, and it's bugging me.
By ads and by influencers.
Yeah. And you're like, I don't want. No, thank you.
Yeah, totally. Remember when these things were about, like, creating and sharing? Now they're just not selling.
And then they realized they had to make money off it.
So that seems to be what's going on with that. And then I put in a second thing. Do you have a question?
That's what I was going to ask you. No, I was going to ask you about it. I was going to ask you about the second thing.
Oh, yeah. The second thing is the other crazy, like, I'm going to say most bananas. We got a letter about this. Thing that was announced today. Like, I guess you just went ahead and threw this one into the mix, Amazon, because why not? Nobody's paying attention. But they announced this wearable health gadget called the Halo that is obviously a wrist, that is a wrist worn device. It comes with a companion app that 3D scans your body to tell you your weight and, you know, body fat and things like that. And then also it listens to you all the time, and it judges your tone.
No, you had it right the first time. It judges you.
It judges. Yeah. Like, first of all, it's like, you're too fat. Second, it's like, your tone is a little bit troublesome. Like, it listens to you and tries to determine your emotional health based on your tone, analyzes your energy and positivity, and then gives you little... little reminders that someone on Twitter described as, like, telling you to smile more.
Oh, man.
I mean, honestly, if I had read it at any other time, I would have been like, is this the Onion?
But of course, now this is a thing that people are banking on you spending money on, because why not?
Guess so. Just know this, friends. Machine learning and artificial intelligence has not progressed to the point where it can actually diagnose your mental health based on your tone of your voice and then give you a little nag that's like, maybe you should meditate. You seem a little overwhelmed.
It's like a 21st century mood ring, man. Remember those? You're too young for
it. It totally is, except judgier. So judgy. The literal last thing I would ever want in my life is that. So anyway, two fun tech stories. There you go. You're welcome.
Bueno. All right, hit it. Here we go. Boom. So I've got two and a half, and I'm going to start with the cool one and then go with the wow one. So the cool one, and I saw this in the Washington Post today. So Hurricane Laura came ashore last night in the Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is that the Washington Post pointed this out. The National Hurricane Center, 87 hours before it made landfall, okay, so like 3 days before this thing made landfall, said exactly when it was going to make landfall and got the location right within 0.6 mile, which I just think is amazing. It is an ode to the power of what I imagine are big giant computers at the National Hurricane Center. But I just think that is amazingly cool, right? So that's one thing. The half a thing, and props to Tony Wagner for putting this in the Slack, although I'd seen it in the post earlier today. So Microsoft Flight Simulator has a huge new version out. It's amazing, incredible, lifelike, all this good stuff. They put storm chasers in there, observing Hurricane Laura in real time in the version of the game, which I just think is
really
cool. I just think it's cool.
So you could simulate like flying through a hurricane kind of thing, or
flying
chasing
through
it around?
A hurricane. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's pretty sweet.
Isn't that cool?
That is
that
pretty cool?
Technology's
awesome.
Technology's kind of wild.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, all right, so I found it amazing. I think
I know.
I heard it was so cool that the controller sold out like crazy. I wouldn't have guessed, and I can't believe I'm saying this, that the flight simulator would be like that popular. But I guess everybody's at home playing games.
Well, and there's a lot of aviation geeks too, right? And it's easier to do that.
Very true.
Okay, and my last thing, which came across my Twitter feed early this morning, and I thought it was so cool. An astrophotographer named Andrew McCarthy put this on his Twitter feed. It's now got 49,000 retweets or something like that. He took an 85-megapixel picture of the moon last night by putting together 24,000 individual image frames, and he put it on his Twitter feed. And that picture is unbelievable. Now, I'm a space geek. You're a space geek. Right now, I'm watching For All Mankind on Apple TV Plus because I got it free with my new iPad. So I'm in sort of the lunar state of mind. I just think that's super cool. Look at that picture.
That's amazing.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. Yeah.
What's so amazing, too, is if you sort of just like glanced by it real quick, you might think that it's the Earth, like just for a second, because it looks, you know, it's got
just
like
for a second,
dark
that's
areas
right.
that look like ocean. Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Cool, huh?
Yeah. Also, my brother just got the new Samsung Note 20 Ultra, which has this like crazy like 20x zoom. It's like digital and optical hybrid telephoto, and he's so into it, and he keeps sending me pictures like before and then like the super zoomed in after. You can read the numbers on the street sign from two blocks away, and I'm like, you are gonna get arrested if you just keep taking
for
photos
sure.
like zoom
you
photos out your window.
Yes.
You weirdo.
Yes.
Now I'm gonna tell him, I'm gonna like try the moon. I'm not impressed anymore with your street signs.
Put up or shut up.
So you know how I have so straight up two things, like no shame in my game. It's a two.
No, that's all right.
And
then
look,
it's today is the day of multiple entries, just cause.
It's the doubles. Also, one of them was sort of breaking news. Show. So the first one, you know how obsessed I am with testing, is kind of awesome because about 10 days ago, actually, we did a story on Marketplace Tech with Dan Ackerman, who's a reporter at the Water Main, which is like a big APM water reporting project. And he was talking about how testing raw sewage has been a reliable indicator of coronavirus outbreaks. Yeah. And it's super interesting because they can sort of see like, the virus is spreading, and then, cities and states could potentially do something about it. And Sam Fields, who works here at Marketplace, tweeted that, in fact, I just got this from the tech team posted in our Slack channel, that apparently at the University of Arizona, this is so relevant to all of our interests, where students just came back to school.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if it's relevant to our interests, but it's certainly universal. There's even a book about it. Everybody poops. Anyway, students started moving into dorms about 2 weeks ago because they are opening for in-person classes. And they were like, we should probably do some testing. So as campus reopened, the university set up a system to test the wastewater. And they found coronavirus in the wastewater of one dorm, isolated tested all of the students in that dorm, isolated the two who were positive, and everybody else is now going about their business. They caught an outbreak before it spread and shut it down with poop tests.
That's cool.
Boom. Amazing.
Cool.
I loved it. It's a great story. And finally, this just I thought was really interesting, and I just saw it come by on Twitter as we were about to fire up the show, which is Gap reported earnings today. And Old Navy, I don't know if you were paying attention, but Old Navy was like one of the earliest retailers to start making and selling masks that I saw. Like I was like, Old Navy has masks. At a moment when everybody else was like buying them off Etsy still, my sister-in-law was like, yeah, they have them at Old Navy. We ordered like 10. Gap reported in its earnings that it sold $130 million in face masks in its latest quarter.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And that it had secured the top Google search result for face mask style guide. And then people in the comments are saying that their masks are even their 3-ply. Like they're the 3 layers of fabric that public health officials recommend. Oh,
there it is.
Gap. Sometimes it takes business to push something forward. I'm looking for some big Gap billboards with the cute masks.
Wow.
Let's get her done.
That's cool.
$130 million. Business opportunity. Target, I think,
business
just got it.
Business opportunity is what that is. That's exactly right.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
I know. Fascinating. Smile it up.
All right. Well, there you go. There's your dose.
There you go.
There's your dose
easy,
of what's on our minds, newsy and otherwise. You know, we're back tomorrow. Daily show. Economics on Tap. YouTube live stream. It's on the Marketplace APM YouTube channel. 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. Whatever it is in the other time zones in between. 5:30 Central. Something in Mountain.
Sounds it sounds like TV when you say it like that. Long-awaited beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go look at it in the fridge now. Just stare at it longingly. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Peretz is our video intern. And Erica Phillips writes our newsletter. And those little explainers that you hear when you say, make me smart.
Daniel Ramirez engineered today. Our theme music was composed by Daniel and Ben Talladay. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner. And the executive director of On Demand is Sitar Davis.
All of them staring longingly.
I don't know
at the beer in their fridges.
Well, you know, I don't want to. My weird habits are my weird habits. That's just the
way. I know. I get it. They're good content. Yeah. You're an influencer.
Yep. Great. I'll put it on my Insta. Oh, man.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.